down, they're very discouraged because of Paul's sufferings. The Ephesian Christians were looking at the Apostle Paul and his imprisonments and his sufferings and saying, you know, if God was powerful, wouldn't God stop this? If God was loving, wouldn't God step in? If God wanted to be known and glorified, why Paul in prison? And Paul realized this, that they were cast down, like Lisa, and discouraged. And he said in verse 31, I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. So Paul's saying, look, in very similar circumstances to Lisa, and maybe to us to one degree or another, or will be, here Paul is saying, I'll give you a prayer to pray when you're discouraged about the sufferings of yourself and other Christians. Here's something to lift up the downcast. For this reason, in these circumstances, because of this situation, I pray this prayer. And there are three main prayers in this prayer. First of all, there's a prayer for God's power in the midst of suffering. A prayer for God's power in and through suffering. And we see that here in verses 14 and following. He's saying, I'm going to bow down, I'm going to bend my knee, and I'm going to pray to the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. So right at the beginning of his prayer, he's reminding himself of who God is. Always a good step before we begin to ask for something. Just remember who we're asking it of. We're asking it of the Father, who knows his whole family and all their needs, wherever they are in earth or in heaven. And this reminder of who God is gives him a boldness in prayer, enables him to ask for big asks. And his first big ask is for God's power in and through suffering. And I want you to see about God's power here three things. First of all, the stunning scale of God's power. He says, I pray, verse 16, that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Now, a better translation of this is, I pray that according to his glorious power. That's a very important difference, because these are two very different things. You can have a rich person who will give from his riches, and you can have a rich person who gives according to his riches. If a rich man gives a poor man a dollar, he's given him from his riches. But if he's going to give according to his riches, like measured by the scale of his riches, suited to the amount of his riches, that's going to be a lot more than a dollar. In fact, it's going to be something like $10,000 or maybe $100,000. That's giving according to or scaled by, measured by his riches. And that's what Paul's asking here. He's not just praying that God would give out of his riches, but according to, scaled by, measured by his great and glorious power. Then secondly, we notice here the spiritual source of God's power. How do we get his power? Well, he tells us in verse 16, he strengthens you with power through his Spirit. Through his Spirit. In other words, God communicates his great power, his massive power. He channels that to you and I through his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit connects with us and communicates to us. He brings God to our lives and even into our lives. So there's a spiritual source of this power. And then thirdly, here we see the surprising seat of God's power. Every source of power has a seat. It's got a throne. It's got a place that you identify with the power, whether it's the palace of a king or the White House of the president. Where is this seat of God's power? Where does this power reside? And it's a very surprising seat, because he says, strengthens you with power through his spirit in your inner being. In other words, he's saying, you, your hearts, your souls, your inner being is the place where I am going to sit. I'm going to rule from. I'm going to bring my almighty power into your very life. It's truly remarkable, isn't it? And you might ask yourself, well, how can that be? How can the infinite and the unlimited God come and live in all his power in my limited and finite soul? How can that be? Like, you'd think that amount of power into such a small place is going to explode the place. It's like trying to put a Ferrari engine in a Chevy Volt. There's not going to be much of a car left at the end of the day. Well, here he tells us how this can be. He prays that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. In other words, he's coming to strengthen you so that he can live there. He's coming and he's taking your little Chevy Volt of a heart and he's turning it into an armored vehicle, so that he can rule there, so that he can come in all his glorious power. And the word here for dwelling, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, it's a word not for an overnight visit, but for a long-term residence. In other words, when Christ comes into the heart, he doesn't just come in and out. He doesn't do bed and breakfast. He comes and he has a long stay. In fact, he never leaves. And this is a wonderful thought, that he comes into the home, the house of our souls, and he says, I'm going to stay there. I'm going to live here. I'm going to reside here. And every single believer here today has that. Just pause and think about that. That this Almighty God, through his Spirit, has come and he's here. God is not just up there. He's in here. He's dwelling. He's residing. He's going into the library of your mind, in the home of your soul, and he's changing that. He's changing your mind. He's going into the kitchen of your appetites, and he's changing your appetites. He's going into the living room of your family and fellowship, and he's changing that. And he's going into the workshop of your soul, and he's changing your gifts, and he's redirecting your gifts. See, he doesn't just come live and sit down. He comes to work, and he's working away in your inner library, your inner kitchen, your inner living room, your inner workshop, your inner bedroom. He's giving you rest in him in a wonderful way. He strengthens every room. So here is a beautiful prayer, isn't it? A prayer for God's power in suffering and through suffering. And that's one of the amazing things about suffering. We feel weak, but these are the times that God especially answers this prayer. And he chooses our weakest times to show his greatest power. And I know many of you can testify to that. And this is what Lisa's pastor was directing her to. He's saying, Lisa, you're feeling weak. You've lost a lot of your Christian colleagues. You're feeling isolated. And you're feeling powerless. But you needn't. Because you can pray for God's power in and through suffering, so that God not only comes into your life in suffering, but he goes through your life out of your life, even in the midst of suffering. John Stott, the commentator, said this: one of the best ways to discover a Christian's chief anxieties and ambitions, is to study the content of his prayers and the intensity with which he prays them. It's challenging, that, isn't it? Let's pray for this life of Christ in the soul. Pray for the power of God in and through suffering. Christ lives in us so that Christ can live through us. Well, Lisa was really encouraged by this. It did put courage in her soul. She felt strengthened as she listened to this and as she prayed in her heart. But then she said, well, it's great to feel power when I'm weak, but I feel really isolated, even hated at times. What about knowing God's love in the midst of hatred and persecution? And that's where he goes next. He says, Lisa, we can pray for God's love in and through suffering. And notice again verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Quite a remarkable prayer, isn't it? Just think, if we could just pray that every day, it would make a huge difference to our lives. He points here, first of all, to a very strong foundation for this love. He says, you being rooted and established in love. So he's clearly speaking to those who are already Christians, to those who already have put their roots down into Christ's love, those who are building their whole lives upon Christ's love. That's who he's speaking to those who have this strong foundation. And it's a wonderful foundation. I commend it to everyone here. There's nothing better than living your life rooted, planted in the love of Christ and building upon his love. It's unshakable and it's unbreakable. You being rooted and established in love. Then he moves from the foundation to the building of love. He says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power to grasp how long and high and deep is the love of Christ. He wants them strengthened for a purpose. He says, I'm praying that you may be empowered so that you can have a greater capacity for the love of Jesus Christ, so that you can know the love of Christ in all its immeasurably infinite dimensions. And you know, I sometimes think, what proportion of Christ's love have I really experienced? Maybe you can ask that question too. If you're to think of Christ's love as like a universe of love, we haven't even left planet Earth. We haven't even moved out of the state. In fact, we probably haven't moved out of Kent County, Barron Center. There's so much more to explore. There's so much more to investigate. There's so much more to experience. This is what Paul's wanting for the Ephesians, for Lisa, for you and I. He's saying, I just know that, like, there is no east and west. There is no north and south. There are no dimensions that are available to measure this love. I don't know if you've ever seen these videos on YouTube, you know, where they try and communicate the scale of the universe. My son Scott and I were looking at one last Sunday afternoon, Two-Minute Wonders, where they're Christian films of the wonders of the universe. And this one took a space trip out into the galaxy and beyond. And I mean, I can't remember all the stats, so you can look it up on Google. But one of the stats I do remember was that If you were to take all the grains of sand on all the beaches and all the deserts in all the world and add them all together and get a number with like gazillion zeros, there are more stars in our galaxy than there are grains of sand on the beaches and deserts. And that's not including the other galaxies, of which there are billions. And it's just like your mind explodes. And yet I think Paul's saying here, however great that universe is, an even greater universe to explore. The dimensions of Christ's love are just, they are, you can't reach the end of it. It's so wide it can embrace every single person that's ever lived. It's so long that it goes on forever. It's so deep that it can take us from the pit of hell. It's so high it can take us all the way to heaven. And he's saying to Lisa, you can know this. Even if you're surrounded by hostility, hatred, opposition, if you have this in your heart, what a difference that makes. But there's one little thing I want you to notice here too. A strong foundation, a strong building, but there are strong builders to help us. And it's just a little phrase in the midst of incredible theology that we can easily pass by. It's in verse 18 where he says, that you may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And that little phrase, together with all the saints, in other words, knowing the love of Christ is not an individualistic pursuit. He's pointing the Ephesians and us to say, you need God's people. You need the Christian community. It's all very well to read your Bible and pray on your own, but he said there's something about being with God's people in worship that will lead you into the love of Christ in a way nothing else will. So use your fellow builders. Encourage one another together in this glorious building of the love of Christ. So again, while suffering makes us weak, yet is an occasion for God to bring his strength into and through our lives, so also when we're suffering, it's an opportunity for God to bring his love into and through our lives. In Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of this verse, he puts it like this, that you'll be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives, full in the fullness of God. So it's a love that surpasses knowledge. It fills, and yet we are never so full that we can't take more. And it's like we know Christ's love, but no matter how much we know it, we know we'll never know it fully. And the more we know, the more we want to know. That's encouraging, isn't it? And when Lisa heard this, she was encouraged. Said, well, I can go into work tomorrow. I can even go to that seminar. And I can face whatever my future holds. I've got God's power. And now got God's love. What about God's glory, though? This is all very well for me. I mean, I'm going to be empowered. I'm going to experience this multi-dimensional, immeasurable love. But what about God's honor, God's glory, God's name? All these Christians having gone, what about the workplace and God being known there? Well, that's why Lisa's pastor took her to this third prayer, which is a prayer for God's glory in and through suffering. You'll notice verse 19 ends with being filled to the measure of the fullness of God. And then he goes to this doxology. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now, Paul's here made a big ask. In fact, two big asks. He's prayed for God's power, and he's prayed for God's love. And his hope is that this will lift the Ephesians out of their big depression, their big discouragement. But he doesn't sign off his prayer like this. You know, I've asked for big power and I've asked for big love to lift you out of your big depression. And if we even get 10% of that, we'll be doing well. No. He actually goes the opposite way. He says, I've made a big ask, but we're going to get an even bigger answer than what I've asked for. Because we are asking him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And in other words, his sign-off is, and just in case you think we're asking for too much, watch God at work. Let's just see what he can do, because no matter how big our ask, he's got a bigger answer. You never get to a point where you can honestly say, I've asked too much of God. No, in fact, it's usually the reverse. We've asked too little. And we have not because we ask not. However big our ask, God is able to give us a bigger answer, bigger than we can ever imagine. And the result is what? A big ask, a bigger answer, the biggest glory imaginable. That's where he goes. He goes big, bigger, biggest. Why does God do this? Why does he give bigger and better power, bigger and better love? It's so that he will get bigger and better glory. Bigger and better glory. It says here at the end, when all this has happened, according to his power that's at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So what's happening here is the depressed and the downcast are getting a huge lift up. But it's not only them who are lifted up. Through this, God is also lifted up. And the very things we thought that were going to weaken us and make us suffer more and lose God's glory in the world, God can turn around the most impossible situations so that in the end, there's greater power, greater love, and greater glory for him. It's a win-win. It's we gain and he gains. He can take our biggest losses and turn them into the biggest gains for him and for us. And so although this is speaking to situations of suffering through persecution, it can be applied to every single situation of loss and suffering. Everything that gets us down, everything that leaves us low. Here is a prayer for you. It's a prayer to lift up the depressed with God's power and love, and through that, to lift up God's glory in the world. Is that not something that we all desire? And so, no matter how low you are, no matter how you got there, no matter how long you've been there, here is a prayer to lift you up. Here's a prayer for yourself, but a prayer also that you can use to minister to others as well. We need this grace, don't we? We need this to grow. But once we've got this grace and once we've grown, as our mission statement says, we then have to serve with it and we have to send it out to others. So you're going to meet people this week, maybe in your own home, maybe in your own marriage. And they're down and they're depressed and they're discouraged and they're powerless and they feel useless. Well, here's a prayer for them. Take it to them. Here's a prayer for God's power and suffering, God's love and suffering, God's glory in and through suffering. Bring them here and pray for God to lift you and them up with his power and with his love for his glory. Amen. Let's pray. Glorious God, we come to you in our lowest moments, knowing that you are the God who can turn them into the highest moments. You can turn times of greatest loss into greatest gains. Gains for us, gains for you. And therefore we pray that the result of this in and through our lives will be greater power, greater love, and greater glory. And that those of us who are cast down would be raised to heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. They're contending not only with wind, but with wasps back there, so it's a bit of a challenge. I think that's it gone now, isn't it? Congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go to your homes in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.